Well, life on the farm, a kind of laid back, ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack, I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. Tractor sexy.
Goodbye, city life.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo!
Yes, it's our once a month check-in with our good friend and cotton and peanut farmer and other things as well, Ryan Jenkins. He's the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Ryan, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Oh, man, we're doing great. It's always good to talk to you. What are you doing right now? It's, you know, March, it's early. I assume that we're in, like, treat the fields and give them the nutrients they need so that when you start to planting, and maybe what we're finishing up cover crop season two.
That's right. It's, basically this month's the month we'll kind of start getting things kicked back off working in the field. Like you say, we're applying our lime, you know, that's how we adjust our pH of our soils and the other nutrients that the crops will need throughout the growing season, and we'll begin to terminate our cover crops and get ready to start planting. And I hope by the time I talk to you next month, we have our corn planted already and be getting ready to start on our peanuts and cotton, you know, the middle of April. So it's an exciting time. It's one of my favorite times of the year. It's just, you know, it's kind of a new fresh start, and you get to see what this year is going to bring for you.
Yeah, it's not crazy just yet, and you get to do a little bit of harvesting. And for people who maybe haven't heard us talk about this before, can you just maybe give them the 30-second, like, what's a cover crop, and then maybe we'll talk a little bit about the lime stuff, because the level of specificity in terms of the size of the land plot that you target for different amounts of lime is, I mean, it's fascinating, that kind of stuff. So tell them what a cover crop is, and then tell them about the treatment of soil.
A cover crop is typically a small grains crop that we grow throughout the winter months when, you know, years before, the soil would just be bare laying out there, and it would cause a lot of problems with erosion and things like that. So now, you know, in the fall, as soon as we finish our money crop, if you will, whether it's cotton or peanuts or soybeans or whatever, we'll go in and we will plant typically wheat or oats or rye, and we'll have that so that we'll have something growing on the land basically all 12 months out of the year. And then in the spring, you know, sometimes we'll harvest some of that seed so that we'll have seed to plant cover crop with the next year, and the rest of it will terminate, and that will just decompose and add organic matter to the soil.
Do you actually sell the oats and the wheat, or do you just, like, basically kill it and let it go back into the soil?
We do both.
Okay.
We'll sell some, and we'll keep some. We'll sell some to fellow farmers, you know, so they'll have some to plant the following year. And then, you know, one of it we don't harvest, we'll terminate and let it just decay and add organic matter back to the soil.
Gotcha. You were going to answer my second question, which was, you know, the level of specificity, which has changed a lot over time in terms of how you treat the soil, right?
It has. You know, used to when we would get our soil samples every year, we'd go and we'd just ride around, let's just say 100-acre field. We'd ride around 100-acre field, pull several soil samples, put them in a bucket, mix it up, send it off to the lab, and they'd send us back what we needed to add to our soil to make everything right for the new crop. And then with the invent of GPS technology, we've started doing what's called grid sampling and prescription application. So now, instead of having a 100-acre field, we've divided it up using a computer into basically a 2.5-acre grid. And so every 2.5 acres gets treated its own needs. So we'll just have a soil sample for that 2.5 acres all the way across the field. And then when the machine's going across the field, it adjusts the amount of product that it's applying for what's needed in that exact spot. So everything gets exactly what's needed, and there's no waste or putting anything else into the environment that we don't have to put that the plant's not going to use.
So you wind up getting better yields because you get the soil is much more normalized through this process. You actually save money, and you have to put less things on the land, which is, these are all good things. And in case people aren't all that familiar, 2.5 acres is, in a subdivision, something like 10, you know, 8, 7 to 10 houses, something like that, depending on the density of the subdivision. So that's a very small, from a farmer's perspective, plot of land to have the sample size, as opposed to 100 acres average across the whole thing, and then one, you know, amount that you put on there.
Some's getting too much, and some's not getting enough,
right,
and some's
right.
getting the right amount. So it's really, for us, it's been a big-time game changer, and it's good for the environment.
And as you always like to say, you know, between computers and GPS technology and programmable machines that are driven by satellites in outer space, you know, the level of technology in modern farming is genuinely amazing. You also have had a lot of meetings, right? You're always in the winter. You're going to meetings and talking about strategy and gaining information for the next, you know, the growing season that's coming. And, you know, politics, too, because, you know, bills affect farmers, right?
Absolutely. You wouldn't have enough time on this show for me to finish telling you all the meetings I've been to just this year already all over the country. But one thing that I think people might not know about and might be interested in, of course, you know, you don't really think about it, but microplastics. Have you ever heard of microplastics? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely. The teeny, teeny, tiny, very, very small, like, you know, hair or smaller kinds of pieces of plastic that are in the ocean and in the animals and in me. And yeah, Ryan, you're just getting ready to talk about microplastics. It's been kind of a hot touch point or theme of some of your farmers meetings this winter, right?
It has. You know, man-made fabrics are a direct competition for cotton, and that's one place that we have them beat. Microplastics, like you said, they're tiny plastic fragments that are less than 5 millimeters. And that typically comes from the breakdown of larger plastics. So, you know, your polyester clothes, when you have polyester in your clothes, that's a man-made fabric that's plastic. You know, it comes from petroleum. So they've been found in every ecosystem in the world. And more concerning than that, they've been found in almost all types of body tissue, lungs, brain, digestive system, your heart, liver, kidneys, you name it. It's in your body. And there's been a study that I think it was the University of Newcastle did that said each person eats 0.17 ounces of microplastics every week. That's equivalent to a credit card. So take it or leave it. Believe it or not, I mean, that's what the study says. It just blows my mind that much microplastics is in the environment, number one, and that's entering our bodies, number two.
I think most people probably don't even, like, you know, they're trying to wrap their brains around, wait, a dinosaur died and got compressed and turned into petroleum, and that got turned into a fabric that I wear on my body that decomposes every time I wash it, and that goes into the waterways and the animals and the oceans and the plants, the what now? you know, so
right,
that's a,
right.
It's hard to wrap your brain around all of that stuff quickly.
That's part of what you just said is part of it. Every time you wash those clothes, little bits of that slough off and are introduced into the environment. It said the studies have been done that accounts for about 35% of the microplastics found in the ocean. It's from us washing these clothes. So how can we help with that? Buy cotton, right?
I'm good. That helps Santa Rosa and Escambia County. I will absolutely
right.
take it. That's good stuff.
Right.
You guys.
And another thing that's interesting to me that just blows my mind, and I've seen us, you know, farmers have done this before, where you take a cotton, 100% cotton T-shirt, and then some kind of polyester blend T-shirt, and you bury them in the ground, and you know, a few months later, you go back and dig them up, and the cotton's decomposed, and the polyester shirt is still there. Well, it takes between 2 and 5 months to biodegrade a cotton T-shirt, and it takes between 20 and 200 years, depending on the blend, to break down a polyester mix T-shirt. So, I mean, all these things that end up in landfills and everywhere else, you know, we're not doing ourselves any favors by that. So, anyway, I just thought that was some pretty interesting information that we've gathered over the winter.
It is. And it's one of those things where I think what people, their first reaction is, well, that's why I want those fabrics, because they're more durable. Yeah, but at what price? And then every time you wash it, even though it's durable, it's, as you say, sloughing off tiny little pieces of that plastic, which then are durable for 20 to 200 years wherever they go and don't get broken down easily, unlike the small lint fabrics of cotton, you know, that, yeah, you shed lint, but who cares? It breaks down pretty easily by comparison. That's the point. It's
just a small amount of time.
It's National Peanut Month, right?
It is. Are you ready for a farming fun fact?
I am, but I don't understand why National Peanut Month is in March instead of at harvest time.
They didn't ask a farmer. They just needed a national some kind of month, and they made it in March, I guess.
Right. Yes. Well, that is the most succinct explanation of something I have ever heard on any subject, period. They just didn't ask a farmer. I love it. What's your farm fact for us this month, Ryan?
Well, to go along with National Peanut Month, the average person eats 7.9 pounds of peanuts per year.
I am doing my very best to exceed the average.
We appreciate that.
I love peanuts.
Everybody should do that.
Oh, man, I eat peanuts all the time. Dry roasted, salted peanuts. I don't know why they make the other kind, but, you know, whatever.
Right.
And, of course, they're fantastic in your candies.
Absolutely.
And whatnot.
Absolutely.
Ryan Jenkins, he is the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida, joins us every month for a kind of an update on what's going on with the farming community. Ryan, man, as always, I appreciate what you do. I appreciate you keeping us informed, reminding us of how important agriculture is to our lives and our livelihoods. And thanks for putting, you know, clothes on my kids' back and food in their mouths, man. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much for having us on. I hope everybody has a great week.